Yes, okay, good. So I'm wanting to kind of connect up with last week a little bit and just kind of share what was happening for me a little bit, and then kind of get into what I had written for this talk. So part of what was really the kind of the fullness of my experience, which also included the depth of suffering, of course, was to be able to listen to Jane as she conveyed what her experience was. And so if you weren't here last week, it was probably the best talk that I've ever heard her speak, and she was unbridled in the context of, you know, working with her notes and stuff like that. And so you should listen to it. You should listen to it, because she did a great job of really talking about her powerlessness and what it was like to be in the experience of being with someone who is in such deep suffering. And from time to time, we're all called to be in this kind of experience of being in our life where there is circumstances that we cannot control, and because of that inability to control, we have to witness people go through experiences that are very, very hard and difficult. And the difficulty of bearing witness to someone else's suffering also creates trauma. And so as I appreciated my beloved in conveying her effort and to have it be worthy of sharing this piece of our personal journey, because it reflects our effort. It reflects what we're about as your ministers, to really own what is happening in our life, because it's grist for the millstone of our own becoming. It's necessary that we be able to speak to what our experience is and how we're also in the struggle, just like every one of you, to kind of do the best we can to kind of both be in our experience but not defined by it. And so as I listened to the depth and clarity of Jane's able to take that experience and lift it to a place where it could be not only conveyed in a sense that it could be a blessing, but also could heal me from a distance. Because you gotta know, in my experience of, you know, I've had this condition. It happened a year ago when Jane and I were prepared to go to Cancun to be with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and that happened. And so this time I had waited way too long to ask her to take me to the emergency room. And by the time we actually went, I was at a depth of discomfort that the only thing my body could possibly do in order to manage it was to scream. And the screaming also attached to it the words that reflect little Gary's desperation. The scream attached to, "Oh my God, please help me." And to be in that experience of witnessing me as that is what my body needed, and yet to be also aware of my embarrassment of disrupting the other patients in the emergency room, you know, not wanting to kind of burden the rest of the community with my suffering. But, you know, there are times when we have to let all that stuff go. And we have to be willing to just kind of be with our experience and know that, you know, the process is what it is. Anyway, so I got to a place where I saw the irony of here me preparing a talk where my talk is all about us really understanding that whenever we're triggered, it's because we are placing the burden of our well-being outside of ourself and expecting that our needs are to be met by what we're having as our experience. And whenever we place the burden of our well-being on what we're having, then we're setting ourselves up for some form of disappointment. And plus, when we have the, when we're conditioned to look outside of ourselves for relief, then that compounds our challenge, because ultimately, as I'll end up in this talk, we need to ultimately be capable of giving to ourselves what we traditionally expect to have blessed from outside of ourselves. And what I experienced over the weekend was is that there are circumstances in your life where you cannot give it to yourself. You have to accept it from others outside of you. And those times are in times of trauma, in times of birth and deaths. And so when we're in life experiences where there's a part of us that is being born into a greater experience, or we're dying to a part of ourselves, that is something that we need help with. We need midwives. We need comfort. We need care. And so for me, the hard thing for me, the big missing inner resource is my own sense of self-love and connection. And so for me to kind of be driven to the point where I have to accept and welcome the care of others is my growing edge. And so all of us have a growing edge that we have to kind of understand is important for us to kind of work with. And so this experience sort of taught me that there are times in our life when we have to be supported, and then there are times in our life when we have to sort of shut off our tendency is to look outside of ourselves and really be in the struggle of resolving the internal disconnect, the internal sense of not enough, the internal belief that we're less than. And so that's the dichotomy of this journey. And so I'm not going to focus on my experience over the weekend. I'm instead wanting to focus on what I intended to share with you, which was a kind of passion that I have right now. And that is, I'm wanting us to understand that there is no not enough in God. Okay, so as we talk about this whole idea of meeting our needs and dealing with our sense of unworthiness, inadequacy, a sense that we don't measure up, whatever is the cross that we bear, so to speak, in the context of our own limiting beliefs, we still have to understand that part of the real issue is that we're living in a different reality than what God has created. We're dimensionally out of phase with what Jesus describes as the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is simply Jesus's terminology to describe a way of being with what we're having that enables us to be present as the one unto our life. The avenue through which that which God has gifted us in terms of our own purpose and passion can be expressed. And we never get the experience of unleashing that dimension of ourself when we're looking outside of ourself for what is missing in our life. Now, the problem is that we've been conditioned to do that. So it's not something that we can just sort of say, oh, okay, I understand the problem here, I'll stop doing that. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to recognize that on one level, on the level of, let's say, our spiritual journey, that the problem is that we're living in our own disconnect. And what that means is that we're living as if we're separate and apart from God. And we're living as if our life is against us. And yet our conditioning is such that we have all the evidence that we need to sort of rationalize that perspective. But that's the problem. The problem is that the evidence that we've gathered is a conditioned response of our trying to struggle with the things that aren't happening that are really connected to our sense, well, if this is happening, then I know my life is for me. If this is happening, I know I'm on the right track. But because we cannot no longer look outside of ourselves and get that evidence, we have to be in the struggle of discovering that within ourselves, and then being able to actualize that dimension of ourself that is this realm that Jesus describes as the kingdom. So if we consider the words of Jesus and his admonition to this way of being in our life that Jesus describes as the kingdom of God, a way of being in our life as if it's always for us, a way of being in our life that knows that this is a field of infinite possibilities, that when we align ourselves with that intent that is seeking to live itself through us to bring forth a greater good, then the obstacles that live in our self system, our sense of separate self, don't eclipse the greater intent that lives in the context of who and what we've come here to be. What is our purpose that transcends all of those issues of our separate self? And so Jesus in Scripture tells his disciples, don't think about your life. He says, take no thought for your life. And back in his day, this, if we remember the circumstances of his people, in his day, the things that were important to the people that were drawn to Jesus' message, they were occupied forces surrounding the Jews at the time, and they lived in oppression and slavery, and it's not unlike what's happening in our world today. And yet, the fundamental teaching to deal with the extreme difficulties of our life circumstances, Jesus says, don't worry about it. And so we need to kind of understand that while we can say, yeah, worry doesn't do us any good, but we continue to worry, we need to understand that, yeah, our thoughts and mind produce after their own kind, but we're just going to go ahead and think those thoughts anyway. We need to understand that until we address the dimension of the creative process that produces our personal reality, that dimension called mind, we have yet to enter into the arena of managing how we create what we're having, our own personal life. And so after Jesus tells all of his disciples, don't worry about this, don't think about that, look, God takes care of the birds, the lilies of the field, and if we really understand the way things work, we will just trust in something that is going to move us into an experience of everything that we have need of. But here's the condition, as Jesus says. You first must seek the kingdom of God, and the things that you have need of, therefore, will be added unto you. And so while we've all heard this teaching before, and it's because it's been kind of steeped in the religious doctrine, believing that we're talking about some kind of theological context, that if we aspire to some place or some dimension, some ideal, that we'll somehow purify ourselves and our life will work differently or better. And it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, first of all, when Jesus says, where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? It's within. Okay, so it has nothing to do with what's happening in the outer. So it has to do with a dimension within ourself. And so Jesus is locating this dimension within ourself that basically is source. It is our own personalized location of source. Our own interior is the portal, the access, the gateway to the dimension of our being that Jesus describes as this wellspring of everlasting life. He describes it as this field of infinite possibilities that when we activate it, it lifts us into the expression of our wholeness. And so it basically moves and lifts us out of the universe where not enough is something to contend with. And so let's think of this. Let's think of the things that we have need of, and let's see how we can use this principle that if we seek first the kingdom of God, these very things will come into our life. And let's understand what Jesus means by this. So as you can see listed here, I've listed six things that we commonly look outside of ourselves for, and when we're not able to have these experiences, depending upon the situation, we get triggered. And then our triggering moment causes us to create karma, Karmageddon. Then we become kind of caught up in patterns in our life. And so whenever you need a sense of abundance, whenever that's missing for you, whenever you have a need for safety and security, a sense of your innate value or worth, a sense of self-love and connection, a sense of empowerment or knowing that your presence matters. If any of these things are missing for you, you will become triggered. And then you interact with the outer experience as if that outer experience is against you. But as Jane mentioned last week, and her effort to deal with her lack of power, and she talked about how she got in touch with gratitude, and it became kind of hard to kind of see, well, how does gratitude equate into a kind of sense of empowerment? And that's sort of how this transformative process works, because we just can't connect the dots intellectually. We have to understand the deeper dynamic of what happens. And so Jane last week mentioned, and this is the same message that I have, and that is that all six of these things that we have need of, that become unmet needs when we look outside of ourselves for it, we have to learn how to give ourselves these very things that we expect to come from outside of us. And as a matter of fact, to learn how to give to ourselves these very things is exactly what Jesus means by seeking first the kingdom of God. Because we have to go within in order to discover what it is that we do that gives us a sense of abundance. We have to go within to discover what it is that we do that gives us the feeling of safety and security. We have to go within and decide for ourselves, What am I doing when I experience my own greater sense of self-love and connection? We have to discover what we do within ourselves when we experience a sense of empowerment, and so on and so forth. And so the effort that we take to explore the ways in which we discover how to meet our own needs begins to unleash the dimension of ourself that releases its need to have the evidence in the outer be a demonstration of one's well-being and worth, and instead begin to abide in the I'm sounding like I'm some kind of, anyway, let's just skip right over that. Anyway, let's just sort of say that when we embody the feeling of this fulfilled state, something happens. Okay, now I'm going to get very specific. So I'm going to talk about how I deal with a sense of abundance, because that's common, missing for a lot of folks. Okay, so here's what you need to know, and if you're going to work with a sense of abundance. Most of us attach to our sense of abundance. We know that our sense of abundance is more than money, right? But for the most part, if you have issues with money, you can't do the deeper work of working on your sense of abundance because you've attached the real issue to the circumstance of not enough money. And so I have to kind of give you a workaround, because you have to kind of bypass that circuitry in your brain to get to what I'm going to describe. So if you're dealing with a sense of not enough because of not enough money, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask the question, in this moment, right now, do I have to have that money? In this moment, right now in church, right now today, in this very second, do you have to have that money? The answer is no. Well, in about 15 minutes, you'll need more money, but... I'm supposed to say that. That's part of my job as minister. So I'm wanting you to sort of see that almost all of us universally in this moment can set aside our attachment to making our sense of abundance about money. And so we can sort of say, I don't need any money right in this moment, so I can set that piece aside. Now I want you to go to the broader context of what your sense of abundance really is. And I want you to begin to imagine feeling yourself. And basically, we want to get to this kind of sense. We want to feel the feeling of what it feels like to have all of our needs met. To know that we are gifted with the capacity, just by virtue of who we are and what we're having, we have the capacity to use and engage in our life in a way that we can create for ourselves this feeling, this greater expanded state of abundance. Okay, so now every one of us has a different sense of what that means. So for me, Jane would always say to me, Gary, you need to film yourself. You need to, because every time she sees me in front of a camera and I begin to talk about my passion for evolving churches, I come alive. I have this sense that I am the one. And actually, when we talk about a cue card quality, part of moving towards this greater sense of abundance is asking two questions. What cue card quality? What quality enables me to, on an emotional level, begin to train my body to feel my sense of abundance? And then the second thing, what am I doing when I have the felt sense of this? And so the cue card quality that I have is the one. So on my cue card is the sense that I've come here to be the one. And I'm very clear as to what that means for me. And it means to me that I have a gift to share. And so when I'm in that experience of conveying that, I'm experiencing this greater sense of abundance. And so the point I'm trying to suggest is that if we can find the feeling that is associated with the fulfilled state of what it is that we're needing, and then begin to generate that feeling within ourselves, and then begin to carry that feeling into the intent, how can I be expressing this as a part of my gift unto the world? And so in my effort to kind of align my passion with a willingness to accept compensation for my alignment with this principle of abundance, of knowing that I'm the one, I set out on an effort. Now this happened a year ago, so I'm talking about what I've already experienced. But I set out making myself available to colleagues and inviting them to ask me for support and coaching. And to be able to do that in such a way and to feel that I was actually helping and giving some support. And then all of a sudden discovering that my colleagues would appreciate that and would send me money. And so the whole idea was, is I was able to reattach my sense of valuing myself as a part of what abundance is for me. You see, that's the missing piece, is that we want something outside to happen that gives us evidence of our worth, but when we be in the struggle of really trying to generate this sense of abundance, we know that it's tied to our really welcoming that which is necessary and needed as a part of our efforts to bring forth our purpose and passion, and to know that it's tied to how we feel about ourselves. It's tied to our knowing our own worth. And it has to happen from the inside out as opposed to us making a precondition of it being first in the outer and then something that we can experience. So while for me it's hard for us to kind of talk in terms, okay, you do this and this will happen, because everything that we describe as our transformative practice and effort happens over time. And so you can have a belief that you're not enough, and you can know that that's something that's within you. But then the next step is to see how that belief is showing up in your life. And then after you're convinced, yeah, I have something in there that's producing a pattern in my life, then you need to begin to create differently. You need to say, oh, I'm being not enough right now. Well, that's only a belief. That's not the truth of me. And so I have to hold the awareness that I have this belief that I'm not enough, but that's not the truth of me. And so if the truth of me is that I'm the sense of abundance, the sense of more than enough, then how do I now be with this that I'm having? And so that becomes the steps. Now, it just doesn't happen the first time all of a sudden you're free. you continue to have to be in that effort to recognize, oh my God, here it is again. I'm looking at this through this limiting belief that I'm not enough. No, I have a belief that I'm not enough. That's not the truth in me. I can see what my belief has created, but now I want to create something else. So when I'm in the experience of noticing that my meaning-making machine is trying to paint the picture of insufficiency, I realize, no, that's the effect of my self system running me. I'm going to set that aside and say, I'm not going to let that limiting belief be my reality. So I have to reconnect to the feeling of this. And I have to wait and inhabit that feeling. Then now I can be with what I'm having because this is welcomed now. It's welcomed. There's nothing pushing us away. And you have to do that over and over and over and over again. That's all I know. Thank you.
Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, for we know that there is only one power, one presence, one life. So whoever you are and wherever you are on your journey of transformation, you are welcome here. We would especially like to welcome anyone who is here for the very first time. If this is your first time visiting with us and you feel comfortable raising your hand, our ushers have a gift packet for you. Is anyone here for the first time? Oh, one here, a few of you, great. So on the outside of that packet, there is a form you can fill out to be added to our mailing list for our weekly e-news update and our quarterly newsletter. If you are interested, please fill that out and drop it in the love offering bag as it comes around instead of feeling obligated to give a donation today. Also, after the service, you can take this packet to our barista stand and get a free beverage of your choice. You can also take it to the bookstore and get a CD of today's amazing Sunday talk. And we are very happy that you are here. We would also like to welcome all of you joining us online. We are especially grateful that you are joining us via internet. It's awesome. And now it's time to welcome and greet each other briefly. I wonder if we can do it. Should we try? So let's greet each other with those around you with a handshake, a hug, a high five, a wave, a namaste, whatever works for you as we begin with our welcome song.
I was hoping for a bigger gong. My name is Jim Sledge, and I have the privilege of being the treasurer on your board of trustees. And this is a time in our service where we appreciate and accept financial contributions to this amazing place that we call Unity Spiritual Center.